afternoon. You are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am your co-host, Maria Gerard.
And I am your co-host, Esther Ann.
Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change here in the Dawnland. We explore topics such as restorative justice, restorative practices, decolonization, cultural revival, and more. Our guests are people involved in aspects of truth, healing, and change work. This program is offered in an effort to share, inspire, and to inform. Dawnland Signals is a collaboration of Maine Wabanaki Reach and WERU-FM.
Good afternoon. This is Esther Ann. Our topic this month is the power of song. Often when the spoken word is not enough to express how we are feeling, we sing. The power of song is universal. Humans use song to teach language, tell stories, and pass down important lessons. We use song to preserve history, to pray, to help us grieve, heal, and celebrate. Songs preserve our past, celebrate our present, and give us hope for the future. This afternoon, we'll be talking with Duane Toma about language revitalization and the 130-year-old wax cylinder recordings. Also joining us to share stories of community celebration are Sarah DeWitt, Julie Miller, and Susie Louie from a women's drum group. But before we begin our conversation, we want to start with acknowledging the land.
Let's just take a moment to acknowledge the land beneath our feet, Wabanakeag, the land of the first light, the dawn land, land that has known Wabanaki ancestors, the tallest trees and the oldest rivers, land that has known peace and conflict, land that has nourished us and sustained us since time immemorial. We acknowledge the indigenous peoples of this land, Wabanakeag, the Passamaquoddy, Penobscot, Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Abenaki, and we give thanks to your stewardship and resilience. We are broadcasting from WERU Studio in Blue Hill, Alamoosuc, Wabanakeag.
Lily One Maria. So I'm so excited to welcome you all to our show. And I want to turn to Duane and have him, you can introduce yourself a little more, Duane. All I did was share your name and you can tell us a little bit more about yourself. And I'm real excited to hear about the wax cylinder recordings.
Hey, Nulazi Kopa, Duane Toman, Deliwiz, Nujayao Zibayik. Hello, everyone. My name is Duane Toma, Passamaquoddy tribal member from Pleasant Point. It's an honor to be here with you this evening to share with you 130-year-old songs from a wax cylinder recordings. The Passamaquoddy people were the first people in the world to be recorded. We were the first field recordings to be recorded. So it's an honor for me to be here with you. And I've been working diligently on the wax cylinders and sharing them with tribal members, family, and friends. So it's an honor for me to be here with you this evening.
We're honored to have you, Duane. I'm really excited to hear more about these wax cylinders. I know last October of 2019, you attended the Wabanaki Reach Wellness Gathering in Portland, and I got to hear a little bit about these wax cylinders. Did you want to share what exactly is a wax cylinder, and where did they come from, and how did they get revived? How did we bring them back?
Well, first and foremost, they started, there was an Indian agent at the time by the name of Wallace Brown. And Wallace Brown's wife had invited a gentleman by the name of Jesse Walter Fuchs to Calais, Maine. And at that time, there was a surge to, you know, to get a lot of information from the villages, because they were dissipating. Everything was dissipating at such an alarming rate. So Jesse Walter Fuchs came to Calais, Maine, and recorded the Passamaquoddy people. And these were actually the first recordings in the world. So it's really an honor to be able to share them with you. The wax cylinders, really, there's like 31 wax cylinders of stories and songs. This one particular song that I wanted to share with you is a ceremony customary at the death of a chief. When a chief would pass, they would collect all his belongings. They would cut down the flagpole that he had. They would take all his bows and arrows, his tomahawk, and they would bury it with him. And at that those times, what they would do would mourn for 1 year when the passing of a chief. And what they would do is they would designate messengers to go to the Penobscot territory and to the Maliseet territory and then to the Mi'kmaq territory and to the Passamaquoddy territory and the Abenaki territory and inform them of the falling of a chief. And they would come down the rivers together as one unit to mourn with the village. And as they come to the shore, they would sing the song. Bozogo, Almi Sogo. So back we go, Glana, El me waiting, Lord. Your day, your burn, and no, yeah. Your day, your burn, and no, yeah. Oh, so go. Tell me so go, so beg we glana, tell me waiting low, your day open, and no ya. As they approach the village, as they got to the shore, they would sing that song. And then they would sing another song to welcome the people. Once the welcome dance Once the welcome song was sung, they would invite all the people into the village and to mourn the falling of a chief. At that time, they would Mugnanya Zagam. Mugnanya Zagam means they would choose a chief. All the villages, not one single village could choose their chief. The Wabanaki, the Abenakis, the Penobscots, the Maliseets, Passamaquoddies, the Mi'kmaqs would choose that village chief. And that's how it was done. They would choose, everybody would choose the chief in the entire Wabanaki Nation. So those were customary, some of the ceremonies that were done because we were all one. And that solidified that by the ceremonies where they would get the Ginwat Dasid, and they, in other words, the messengers. This is how they've done it.
So, Duane, this is Esther. What was the, where have they been? Like, where were these wax cylinders and how did they become we have attention on them now?
Yes. Well, these actually, they were in Peabody Museum in Massachusetts, Peabody, Massachusetts. They were stored there. And then finally, the Folk Life Center and the Library of Congress got a hold of them. And then we were contacted with the diligent work of Donald Sucktomer and some of his staff, who were able to acquire these wax cylinders and to be able to, there are several different people have also tried to transcribe these wax cylinders, and they were very difficult because auditorial was not very clear. So once they were able to obtain funding to be able to address some of the auditorial issues, they were able to get them digitalized and enhanced, and the quality of auditorial was absolutely wonderful. So once I was able to get a hold of them, I worked diligently and still working diligently on a lot of time to make sure that it's authentic and to be able to make sure we capture every word as well as all the songs and the stories as well as the significance to the ceremonies with the songs.
That's amazing. That sounds like beautiful work, but just a lot of work too and a lot of hours spent.
Yes.
You are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am your co-host, Esther Ann, along with my co-host, Maria Gerard. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Today, we're talking about the power of song with our guest, Duane Toma, and some ladies. Are the ladies up north ready to introduce yourselves and share a little bit about the power of song?
Hi, my name is Sarah DeWitt. This is Susie Louie.
I'm Susie Louie again.
And I'm Julia Miller. And together we make up Maui Donage, Ebijig, and we are missing Chloe Curtis.
So tell us a little bit about your drum group. What does your name mean, and how did you come to be and where you are? Anything you want to share?
Oh, God. I'm not sure how long we've been together. It's going to be 10 plus 15 years. Our drum group started out as a support group, and it evolved into a drum group, and where it was simply just a Maui Dona Jebejig means a gathering of women. So sometimes you'll find three of us. Sometimes we'll have 15 of us. It all depends on how many we can get close by. COVID safe, of course.
I love that you started as a support group for women. And, you know, that's exactly what we're talking about today, is how we're able to find so much healing and strength in our songs. And I've seen your group in a few different settings. And so I was just wondering if you had any, what's your most special singing memory with your group? Is there any venue that you prefer over others? Do you like to just come together informally? Do you like, singing at the socials? Was curious about any special singing memories that you might have together.
We used to. COVID has kind of got us spread out, but we would meet once a week for about an hour. Whoever was able to join us, practice songs, find songs, gossip and tease with each other. We've been invited to some pretty neat places, local businesses around the area, schools. I think we even got into the airport one day. And we were even invited to the Maine State Prison. That was quite some time ago. Of course, the local socials. Wherever we can get to, we're there. Yes. Folks have asked us to attend funerals or passings in support of their families.
Mm-hmm. And we sing both Mi'kmaq and Passamaquoddy songs. I taught the girls Passamaquoddy song. So
nice.
Yeah.
Is there a particular song you want to share with us tonight?
Yeah, let's sing a song.
All right, let's do this. All right. beginner song, right? Well, we are going to sing the beginner song.
The beginner song, okay.
Oh, okay.
Where do we stand? Anywhere?
I was going to say, can you see us? Or do you just need to hear us?
We just need to hear you, mostly.
Okay. All right, so. Yo, ya, he, yeah. Ya, he, yo, ya, he, yeah. Yo. Yo, ya, hi, yeah, Happens to us, we say we're going to sing one song and something else will be shared.
It's beautiful. I love the message of gratitude, and I think about how so many of our songs have that message of gratitude, and how a lot of the way we pray is all about giving thanks. That was a beautiful song. Thank you.
It was. That was beautiful. Thank you. That was Mari Donage Apijek singing the beginner song, right?
That and was, Thank You, Great Spirit.
Written by Donna.
Written by Donna Augustine. She's a Mi'kmaq elder. We wanted to sing beginner song, but we ended up singing Donna's song instead.
That's the song that wanted to be sung tonight. I loved it.
Yeah. I needed that one.
Yes.
Duane, I was wondering if there was any songs specifically for healing that you had come across in the Wax Cylinder collection.
Well, there isn't. I haven't come across any healing songs, and we're still trying to identify some of them too, because so we're trying to do some research on those as well. So we're still in the process of working on those, but there are a few of them. We got a trading song. We have this death song, the snake dance song. Matter of fact, I can let you hear the actual wax cylinder of the song that I just shared with you. If I'll just give me a second.
Taken by day one of you on the 16th day of Christ.
Don't go,
To give you a comparison of some of the work that we're doing, it's just very, very spiritual, powerful. It's just very moving stuff. It's riveting stuff.
It's so amazing to hear that and just to know that how old that is, and gave me chills.
Yeah, powerful.
Same here. As soon as I heard him, I was just thinking, you know, those voices, and what a treasure trove it is to have those back in our community.
Yeah.
You are listening to Dawn Land Signals on WERU. I am your co-host, Maria Gerard, along with my co-host, Esther Ann. Tonight, we are talking about the power of song with Dwayne Toma and Maui Dunnage Apijig. So one of the things we were hoping to talk about tonight is what sort of advice would you give to parents who want to teach their children the power of song? Is it something that they have to learn? Is it something that's going to come to them naturally? Do you have any guidance for parents in relation to song? Anyone who wants to answer.
I'll let the ladies go first.
I know for me, personally speaking, when I first started a drum group, I didn't know any of the songs. So when we started sharing and teaching each other, it felt right. It sounded familiar. And again, we just practiced over and over again. And I think just having that available,
it'll be intuitive to the child as well. Rather than force, maybe encourage and not have the expectation that they have to, but have it available so that they can if they want to.
Because I think that's how Billy might have got interested, because we'd always drive around, we'd always throw a native CD in, and there they are drumming and dance, drumming on there, and I don't know.
Love it.
I think that all helps.
We also drum at the Head Start. And you can tell the kids that are more drawn to it than others. That doesn't mean that when, you know, they don't actively participate, that doesn't mean that they're not ever going to be. They might just not be ready now.
Right.
But you can also see the ones that are ready. They are so excited, and they will be very active and vocal and excited and
start dancing.
Yeah. So,
and these are non-native children. I've seen mostly do that because we have native like and non-native drum as just, head start.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that it feels like the drum affects everybody, you know, native, non-native. Yes. It's like we all have this natural inclination to be drawn to the drum. I feel anyway,
it's,
really.
It's like the heartbeat. Together. It's like our mother's heartbeat. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I got a quick funny story I have to tell. When I was younger and my oldest boy was about 2 years old, I was taking a emergency medical technician course, and so I had a stethoscope, and I'd come home from class in the evening, and he'd be sitting on my lap, and he liked to, you know, try to listen with the stethoscope. And I remember this one time he got it in there just right, and he put the stethoscope on his chest, and his eyes got real big, and he said, "Oh, there's Indians in there," because he was hearing his own heartbeat. It was so cute.
Oh, that's a good one. I hope he hears this.
That's wonderful.
Dwayne, what about you?
Well,
same question.
Well, I think it's really engaging, connecting, and really, being really inclusive and really reaching out to the children, reaching out to the elders, really making yourself available to be able to engage in songs, stories. And, anytime there's an opportunity when you walk in a room to be able to use our language, I think it's so important to be able to engage in that way.
Yes, thank you, Dwayne. Thinking about singing and how drum groups and how we teach children and even adults, like Sarah said, she didn't know any of the songs. And I remember a long time ago, singing and telling Maggie Paul, Mugglet, say, "Oh, I love to sing." I was like, "But I'm shy to sing because I don't sound too good." And she said, "It doesn't matter what you think you sound like because you're singing for the ancestors and they Absolutely. Hear you and they appreciate it." So I always remember that every time I start to feel shy about singing, because I'm not like my mother. I didn't inherit my mother's singing voice, but it just feels so good. It makes you feel good. When you all were singing, I was on mute singing along, but it does so much good for you, to sing.
Yes. And there's so many different stories and lessons in the songs, like, let me give you an example. We have a snake dance song and dance is really a ceremony. And also it tells stories, it really, it exemplifies really about unity and about coming together as people and to be able to engage with each other and to be able to honor each other's chiefs, inaugurate each other's chiefs. Many, many ceremonies that are incorporated within, when we get together. So I think the snake dance song is really one of those ceremonies where it brings people together to be able to talk about common problems, to be able to engage of what some of the problems are in our territories, to be able to honor each other, to really start really working on, it's almost like that deep connection that they keep continuing to connect, honoring the animals, having ceremonies around gathering berries, having a gathering, just different things that to be able to connect, because we're so connected to the environment. And I think it's real deep. So the language is all incorporated in with the ceremonies.
Is the snake dance song something that you would be willing to share with us tonight?
Sure. Snake Dance song was, they used to take a rattle. They would use a horn rattle. And they would designate someone that knew the dance or song. And he would take his rattle and he would come around the room. Well, who ya ne? Well, who ya ne? We ha. Yo ne 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 ha. And then what they would do is, this is how it actually sounded. Whenever we get together, we would inform everyone. Everybody would be informed who was going to sing when we get together. Whenever we get together to dance, we would all eat. There was a lot of food. It's just to get nighttime. We get to eat. The food was ready. We get together in a little while. We'd go. We'd go in a different way. And we jump together to dance. And we start to drum and sing. Unravel the snake. Neha wana geolok. Yo neha. Yo neha. Yo neha. Yo neha. Yo neha. Neha wana geolok. Unravel the snake. So these are some of the songs that were sung to bring people together for unity. That everybody mattered. Lewin?
I love that. As we've been talking tonight, I always tend to doodle while I'm listening. And I'm looking at my paper and I'm seeing unity. Everybody mattered. Healing. Coming together in unity. Working on that deep connection. A collective process. And, you know, it really speaks to our cultural values and in our traditions and our ways of knowing and being. about the healing power that comes with just drumming and singing and being together. And of course, I doodled a lot of food. That perked my ears as well. I wanted to turn up north again to include the women into the conversation and invite you to think about if there's any songs, because I'm thinking about drumming and singing as a celebratory act, you know, this act of resistance and making the ancestors happy. Is there a song that you can think of that you'd want to sing that you would sing as a celebratory song if you were celebrating?
We will share the celebration song.
Perfect.
Wonderful. Okay. Jake, thank you, ladies. Sarah DeWitt, Susie Louie, and Julie Miller. And you are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am your co-host, Esther Ann, along with co-host Maria Gerard. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Today, we are talking about the power of song. Thank you. Dwayne, we've been talking with Dwayne Toma about the wax cylinder recordings, and he shared with us some very special ancient songs. Is there anything else you wanted to share? I'm sure there's a lot more you have to share, but anything else you wanted to share with us tonight about those songs?
To say that, you know, in the songs and in the stories, there are a lot of lessons to be learned. It's all in our songs. It's all in our stories. It's all in our language. And songs are so powerful when times are good and when times are bad. That's the power of song. So our deep connection with songs is a way of communicating to the Creator. That's the power of our songs. It's a deep connection. So that is the power of the songs. So I just wanted to share that with you. Liwen?
Liwen Duane. I wanted to, again, move up to the more northerly reaches of Wabanaki to bring the women into the conversation. We have about, I think, 10 more minutes left. I didn't know if you wanted to share any more songs or share anything more about your drum circle and the work that you do.
I kept thinking about where we learned our songs, and I almost want to remember, Esther, you may have shared my first song, because I've been able to use that same method in sharing it with our younger folks, because it sounds very similar to "You Wear Your Hair Your Way."
The friendship dance, yes. You Wear Your Hair Your Way.
That stuck with me for the longest time. Thank you for that. That was beautiful.
That was the Indigenous women's voices, right, Sarah?
Yes.
That Rebecca Sofbeeson organized at USM way back.
Yes. Oh, that's what it was, too. That was amazing. One other story I want to share before we share one more song is I had to step away from a group for a bit. When I came back, I was a little uncertain of myself, not really sure where I was. And the group, our drum group, the girls, they had embraced me, had taken me in, and just through that song and their prayers and support, it meant so much. They're a huge part of my life. It's more than just, I guess, a drum group. My sisters and my mothers. So thank you, ladies, for that. Somebody beeped. That wasn't us, I hope. Oh, sorry. That was me. Apologize. So we'll do one more song.
Thank you for having us, girls.
Thank you.
I love hearing from you.
Yes. It's so nice to see you, ladies.
Absolutely.
We're going to do the longest walk, girls.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That is Maui Donage Apajig. We have about 5 more minutes together. And Dwayne, while I'm talking, you can be thinking because I'm going to put you on the spot to end in a song. But before I do, I just want to close by saying thank you to our listeners for joining us on Dawnland Signals. And thank you to our very special guests, Sarah DeWitt, Susie Louie, Julie Miller, and Dwayne Tomer. Tonight, our topic has been the power of song. I'd like to thank our volunteer technician, Jeffrey Hotchkiss, for his assistance and support. And be sure to join us next month on, let's see, I got this wrong last time.
21st.
Next month, January 21st, for more Dawnland Signals and more conversations of truth, healing, and change. So in our last 4 minutes, Dwayne, do you have a song in mind that you can close us out with?
The song is called Gunasquamkuk, which is St. Andrews, our territory in St. Andrews, New Brunswick. This is a song that was sung, and it's a very old song. So this is a song about St. Andrews, New Brunswick, our territory, which we have Passamaquoddy territory in St. Andrews, New Brunswick.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Stay tuned here on WERU for the upcoming program, Radioactive, with Meredith DeFrancesco. Minach Kanemi Olba.
Apshknumio. You've been listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Happy 2020, everybody. We'll see you next year.
Happy 2020.